So, my dear brothers and sisters, today, last week I said the positive good of positive negative emotion like anger. Today, I want us to get healed by taking authority. That's the title of my message today. Get healed by taking authority. There are different causes of sicknesses and diseases, right?
Yes.
And I know that some, you know, you can say the natural way, you know, you slipped, you fell, and I said, why did I even sleep in the first place? Satan, get out, you know. However, we can have that natural, you know, you didn't sleep well last night and you wake up, you're tired or you have puffy eyes. Natural things, right? And there are some sicknesses that perpetrate because of bad habits. Mm-hmm. Hello? You know, Jesus Christ told the one guy, he said, go and sin no more. In other words, whatever you were doing that caused that situation, stop it. You were smoking and you have lung disease, stop smoking. Right?
Yes.
Somebody would say, that's no brainer. A pastor, one of the pastors that I work with back home, after we had a beautiful conference, called me. I'm in the hospital. I said, what's the problem? My stomach got messed up. I was fasting. I said, I thought you told me that you have ulcer. I said, yes. I said, you are fasting with an ulcered stomach? I said, well, if you die, I will be at your funeral. You know, because I told him, in fact, I said it at the conference. Many times we think that God will answer our prayers only when we fast. Fasting doesn't change God.
No.
Who does fasting change?
Us.
Us. Conditions us and helps us to stay focused with God. Right?
Yes.
So if you have ulcer, you better eat. Otherwise, you won't be focused with God.
No, you'll be pushing up daily.
In fact, you'll be in the hospital like he ended up. Right? So there are such things we just do. You know, and each one of us, we have our own little thing we do. Some of us worry too much. If you're fighting blood pressure, can you learn to just trust God? We can pray for you and the blood pressure will come down, but we can't guarantee that we won't go back up.
Right.
If you don't stop that attitude. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yes.
But then there are just the enemy attacking. Period.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy attacking. So what do? You take authority. And that is the one thing that if you combine it with getting angry, you make decision to say, you know what, this, you are leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And you take authority over it. Let's look at Genesis. I know all of us know it, but we're going to look at it together because faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Genesis chapter 1. I was sharing this with someone yesterday and I said, do you know why of all the good things that God gave us after he said, we want to create man in our image. Let's read it so I don't tell you the story. Read verse 26. Genesis 1, 26.
Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion.
The very next thing he says, let them do what? Have dominion. Right? Let them have dominion. Dominion is authority. Dominion is what? Authority.
That means we're in charge.
Yes. Yes. And many of us know how to be in charge in our workplaces, in our workplaces, with our children, We know how to take authority. Some of us went to army. Some of, come on, right? We know how to exercise authority. But when it comes to spiritual things, for some reason, our brain does not really capture. Our brain does not really capture the fact that we need to take authority. This is number one thing that God knew we needed. He listed it number one.
Yes.
Satan deceived Adam and Eve and removed their eyes from where it was supposed to be. Because what hurt Eve wasn't necessarily that the fruit was good to eat. It was that it will make us like God. They were already like God. They have authority. But Satan uses it now to trick them to take that authority away from them. Right?
Yes.
But look at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Verse 19.
Behold, I give you the authority
Hallelujah.
To trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.
Amen. Behold, I give unto you authority. You're going to operate with my power. I give you the authority to operate with my power. Over all the authority and the power of the enemy. So when you read, like she read earlier on in Matthew 10:8, cast out devil, it is because he has given you the authority to do so. You go to Mark 16, reading it from verse 15, verse 17 and 18. 17 says, we cast out devil. Cast that thing out. Because I have given you the authority and you have the power. I gave you the authority to access my power. I gave you the authority to access my power. I gave you that authority.
That's right.
I gave it to you.
Amen.
So, Amen. When we get bothered by Satan and it just hitting us left, right, and center. My dear brothers and my dear sisters, God does not change his mind. It's Psalm 89 verse 34 that says, his covenant he will not break. And let me even paint a picture of what that will mean if he does break his covenant. If you look at Hebrew, chapter 1, verse 3 says, I'm not 100% sure verse 3 now, but it says, he upholds this whole world by the power of his word. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Now, the implication of that is that if God ever changes his word,
the whole thing falls apart.
The world will fall apart. The world will fall apart. So it's not about you. It is about the way he has set things up. So he is not changing his mind. When he said, behold, I give you authority. Guess what? You have the authority.
Yes.
Can you say, I have the authority?
I have the authority.
I have it.
I have it.
Mm-hmm. Over all.
All. The power and the authority. Of the devil.
Yes.
The authority of the devil, where did he get it from? We gave it to him in the Garden of Eden. Right?
Yes.
You see in Luke 4 and Matthew 4, he was bragging to Jesus, you know, all this I will give to you because it was delivered to me. Who delivered it to him? We did.
Yes. Yes.
We did. If we say Adam, it looks too far away. We did.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because we're still doing the same thing today. That first time he knocked at your door, what was your response? Did you give him authority? that first sign of that symptom, that first headache, that first tingle, that first pain, that first time it hit, that first time it knocked. Did you say, is my heart attack coming back? Mm-hmm. You've claimed it, mine, quote unquote, right?
Yeah.
Is my migraine coming back? Is my, all the things I did last week, oh my God, you know, this is coming back. What am I doing at that point in time? I am giving him authority. I am signing up on a package he just delivered. Meanwhile, it is a bomb.
I agree.
He's delivering a bomb, right?
Yeah, and you just accepted
it. And you just signed off on it. And he goes, yes, we got this one now. Right? But you know why? What one thing I love about God, and that's the sweet thing, you know, is even when you sleep, you make the initial mistake. Does he let you stay there?
No,
he doesn't. His mercies are renewed every day, every moment. The moment you say, "Oh my God, what just happened?" No, Satan, get out! I don't care if I didn't sleep last night. It has. This is a family business. You have nothing to do with it. Get out. The moment you stand and start taking it, okay? And you just have to be that aggressive. Many passive people have died in Christianity. I was praying for one once, not too long ago. And I said, "Excuse me, sir. It had just been revealed to me that you have been passive about this lump that you have." He said, "Yeah, well, you know, it's going to go away. I'm a believer. It's going to go away." I said, "No, that's not how it goes away." He says, "Well, I believe Jesus took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. So you mean it's not going to go away like that?" I said, "No, it's not going to go away like that. You have to be aggressive and addressing it and addressing it and addressing it." And
Amen.
Until it falls off.
And he, in fact, this guy was really arguing with me. He said, okay. But he has been conditioned to being passive. Many of us actually find it easier to go to the doctor and get medication than take a stand.
And more faith in the medication than you do.
More faith in the medication than we have in Jesus. And in fact, a student of mine said, "Oh, I want this headache to go away immediately. I don't want prayer. Just give me Tylenol if you have it." I said, "I don't have Tylenol." And quite frankly, depending on where you are in your faith, it might take a longer time for your prayer to work than the Tylenol. But the moment you endure and persevere until that healing manifests, you just broke a major, it's a major breakthrough.
Yes.
You just made.
Yes.
Now you know it works.
Yes.
You get what I mean?
Yes.
Next time you'll be able to stand. Mm-hmm. If you pray right now, you command Satan right now to go away, and it doesn't disappear immediately, and you go, okay, maybe it doesn't work. Maybe I don't have faith. Maybe. Next time you're going to start afresh. Next time you want to believe God, you're going to start afresh. So what do you do when you have prayed immediately and it didn't happen? What do?
You pray again.
You stand.
Keep going.
You stand.
So, listen, this is what it says. This is what I say. I agree with Jesus, and you got to go.
Yeah.
You got no choice.
When some of us were raising our children, We tell them, we go and clean your room and we walk away, right? And that room may never be cleaned. But any day you really want that room cleaned, what did you do? Huh?
Wouldn't clean it.
You got angry,
you stood there until it is done. Whether they are doing it happily or not, you didn't care, right? You stood there until it is done. Satan banks on Christians giving up.
Yes.
Because he knows we give up very easily. I mean, all he needs to do is linger a little longer. Just a little longer. Just a little longer.
Do you know how many people, evangelists, went out to pray for people and they weren't healed, but they continued? They just continued.
Amen.
They did not give up.
No, you don't.
And then they began to see miracle after miracle.
Amen.
Because they did not give
up. No, you don't give up. You don't give up. You don't give up. Why are you giving up? What is the alternative? When you give up, what is the alternative? What are you giving up for?
Giving up your right.
Giving up your right? You're giving up your right, but why are you giving up? Why?
I'm tired of
waiting. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, like she said. And I also think it's because the pain can get even more intense sometimes when you pray.
Yes, it
so
can.
It's like, yeah, and then fear comes in.
Okay.
And doubt and unbelief.
Okay.
So you got to keep speaking the word and keep speaking it, even though you don't feel it.
Amen.
You don't go by your feelings.
Amen. 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 And that brings me to my next point. In fact, she made a very important point right there. Because it's easier said than done, you know. For many of us who have experienced it, we stand and we see the result, right? But for some people, even those of us who are been long in the Lord doing this, sometimes you pray for something. I went to Joanne last week. I asked her to pray for my hand. Praise God.
Praise God. Amen.
See, last week I really couldn't do it like this, you know. Because I have stood on it, I have prayed. But because I believe that Jesus took my infirmity and carried my sicknesses, right? If I'm praying and it's getting a little tough, I go to someone who can agree with me in prayer,
amen.
Right? Why am I doing that? Because I believe it. I believe in divine healing. I believe that it will eventually happen. I don't care when, but it will happen.
Yes.
It will happen. No, I'm not letting the enemy win.
No.
He's not going to win this battle. I insist. He lost. You get what I mean? But I can go to Joanne and pray. And my finger will still be stiffened up. And what do? I then give up at that point? No. I have to check myself. Matthew 21:22 says, "And all things whatsoever I ask in prayer, believing, I receive." Right?
Yes.
That's what he said. So I can look at that verse and I can say, I can say, if I'm believing, I will receive, right?
Yes.
If I'm believing, I will receive. If I'm not receiving, what does it mean?
You're not believing.
It means I'm not believing. I can't be bashful about that. I can't say, I've been 1 million years in the Lord. How can I not be believing? That's stupid. That would be stupid of me. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
If I'm not manifesting it, then it means I'm not believing.
Yes.
What do? I go to the elementary, the ABC of faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says what? How does faith come?
By hearing.
Hearing and hearing the word of God.
Yes.
So what do? I return to the word of God.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I return to the word of God. And I will tell you the value of returning to the word of God. Who can tell me? Who can tell me before I tell you? Who can tell me the value? Because you may even know it better than I do. Who can tell me the value of knowing, going back to the word of God?
It's alive.
It's true.
It's the truth, yes.
And it tells you what you have, the authority you have, and it tells you all you need to know. And it says, God said you have authority over all. I want to make this perfectly clear.
All
sickness, all disease, all the works of the enemy.
Amen. Amen. I can take his picture so that anytime I want to say all, I will show his picture. Saying all because he's saying it so perfectly well. Yes, ma'am, he's right. Go ahead. The word of God can also tell me where I'm going wrong. Hebrew 4:12. The word of God is the discerner of my thoughts and everything that is going on that I may not be paying attention to. Another one, ma'am. Yes, I see your hand.
It switches your focus off of you and onto Jesus.
Hallelujah. It does. Yes. It takes your focus off you and places it rightly where it belongs. Mm-hmm. The word in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and that is Jesus, right?
Yes.
So when you go back to the word, now you're focusing on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. What you're checking out is your faith, right? Don't you love God?
Yes.
Because again, consciously in your brain, you really didn't think I'm focusing on Jesus when you go back to the word, right? But you were focusing on Jesus when you go back to the word. There's something else that Jesus Christ said, it's important to go back to the word. All of these things are good. In fact, they are excellent. You know, but that is something that Jesus Christ said. Anybody? Yes, ma'am.
It just came to my mind. He never changes.
He never changes. His word is constant, so that if anything is changing, we are the one changing, not his word. Yes.
The world and everything you see will pass away.
But his word will never, not one dot of it will. Yes. Hallelujah. Glory. Turn to John 6:63.
John 6?
John chapter 6, verse 63. Read it if you find it.
It is the Spirit who gives life. He is the life giver. The flesh conveys no benefit whatever. There is no profit in it. The words, truths that I have been speaking to you are spirit and life.
Hallelujah. Jesus himself is talking here, right? I didn't write that. That is the Passion Bible, right?
Amplified.
Oh, that's Amplified. Okay, you always have the Passion. I thought it was the Passion. That's beautiful. You know, so Jesus is saying here that the Spirit is what gives life to the flesh. And when you first read it, you go, what is the Spirit? What is it, the Spirit? And he didn't want you to wonder too long. He continued to say, the word that I speak unto you, they are what? Spirit. Oh, so the word give life. The word of God give life. Again, someone can say, well, duh, if the word is Jesus, certainly gives life, right? But it's also good for us to see the connection that Jesus Christ himself made.
Yes.
That when you go back and start reviewing Isaiah 53, Matthew chapter 8, verses 16 and 17, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, and even the other scriptures, Psalm 107, verse 4, if when you go around and just reviewing all of this, that word you are reading quickens your body. As you are reading it, it's not ordinary words. They are not just ordinary words. Jesus tells us, that's what he's telling us here. The word, any word I speak to you, anything you read that God is saying that is for you in the Bible, it's not ordinary word. As you sit down to read it and you engage in it, it's doing something to you. Even without you praying in Jesus' name, it's doing something. It's quickening your body. So taking time out to go back to the Word of God and sit down and read it, and just read it, not just the routine. Oh, I haven't done my quiet time this morning. Let me just, I read one chapter of this, you know, and then pray. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about deliberately going back to the Word of God and reading it, reading it, reading it, reading it. Seeking understanding, engaging yourself in it. Putting your name in the words that you're reading. Because except you are that engaged, what will happen?
Nothing.
No, if you're not that engaged, what will normally happen? If you're reading and you're not that engaged, what will normally happen? You get distracted. You remember the whatever you're cooking in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Your phone will ring. You remember you left your car in the mechanic. You will remember so many things going on. But if you are engaged, it means that your spirit, soul, and body is all having fellowship with the Word. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I was reading Ephesians chapter 3 yesterday, and Paul was describing the mystery of the fellowship. You know, the revelation he was given about this thing that happened to the Gentiles. Now, Gentiles have become the people of God. But in addition to becoming the people of God, they are joint heirs now of the things that God has for the Jews before. Because he pulled down the middle wall of partition and made everybody one, right? Mm-hmm. But if you also read 1 John chapter 1, John was also talking about this fellowship with the Father. He said, no, this fellowship is not just with the Father, it's also with the Son. And he was talking about eternal life. He's talking about this intimacy with God. Association, with, you're entering it. It's like, I'm hanging out with you, God. Can I just hang out with you here? Can I just hang out with you here?
Can I just sit here with you?
And that's what you're doing when you're engaging in the Word of God, because you are now, your mind didn't tell you that's what you were entering into, but that's exactly what you're doing. And there's no way you will come out from that place the same. If your blood pressure was 150 over, it will come down. I'm telling you, because you are right in the presence of God. You're having this fellowship with Him. You are not just doing a routine thing of reading the Bible. Okay, let me finish. I want to finish Matthew this month. I promise myself I'll finish it. You know what I mean? But you just say, let me just fellowship with the Father and the Son. Let me fellowship. You engage. You come out. When you come out from there, a symptom shows up. It's like, get out. I'm telling you, as a matter of fact, it won't show up, but some of them might be bold enough. But if they know you, speak up and watch it fizzle out. Am I the only one who have experienced this? You know, where symptom is showing up immediately, you speak and it just fizzles out. How many of us have experienced that here? Praise God. Mm-hmm. So you can see with the hands that are raised up here, you see that it is not personality driven, and God does not pick and choose who manifests it. It is if you can consciously remember who you are, what you have, you take authority. Expect something to happen and it will happen. And don't give up. Taking a stand Taking a stand, do you know taking a stand is actually a sign of having faith? Why are you still waiting? Because I know it's going to happen. Oh, you must have faith in this, right?
Yes.
Praise God. Let me just give you a couple of things I wrote down here. You know, I'm looking at the time. It's flying. Mm-hmm. You know, in taking authority for healing, number one, get angry. We talked about that last time. Ephesians 4:26 and 27, you add. Be fully persuaded. Resolutely decide. I know resolution and decision mean the same thing, but resolutely decide, you know, that you are not going to give up. Don't encourage, embrace, or allow any doubt whatsoever. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8 says, when you ask, don't ask wavering. If you waver, you are not going to receive, right? And one of the values of that also is that, or what we discussed earlier on, is that if you notice that you are not manifesting what you've been believing God for, then don't sit and argue with yourself and just go back to the word of God like we just discussed, right? Just do that. That time you spend going back to God is never a time wasted.
Right.
I don't care whether it's stage 4 cancer. As a matter of fact, if you take that time out and go back to the word of God, it's not going to get to stage 5. No.
No.
You understand what I'm saying? Because as a matter of fact, now your body is receiving life.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
If anything, it's going to go back.
Yes.
So don't ever think that the time you spend trying to get yourself to believe, oh, I'm wasting time. Oh, this thing may get worse. No, you are actually being healed. Your healing is actually manifesting more and more.
That's what Satan will tell you.
Yes.
It's getting worse.
Yes.
The pain is
No.
Yeah, you're right. I felt it, but it's gone.
It's gone. And you are not going any further. You are receding. You are disappearing.
Yes.
We don't have enough time. Because I had a testimony like that, and that person lived for 21 years. After the doctor said he will die within the week.
Amen.
To God be the glory.
Amen.
Was that you?
No, it was my elder sister. She had this degenerative disease that was just started from her feet and climbing up, and it got to the heart, and it was about to grip the heart, and the doctor said, this is it. You know, we were afraid that it won't get here, but now it's here. It will die within the week. I said, no, she will not die. I got angry, but I didn't know what I knew today. I didn't know that I could actually send the whole thing back and stop it altogether. But for 21 years, it did not advance from that point it was. To God be the glory.
Amen.
Take authority according to the laws of authority of God. Yes?
Can I be your sister?
Yes, praise God. You are my sister. You are actually
I'm a brother.
My brother. You mean you can't see the resemblance? Just look at us. Praise God. Yeah, take authority according to the laws of authority that God has established. The law of authority God has established is that you stand and make that declaration.
Yes.
Speak, say how it's going to be. Don't make the mistake of going to God and say, God, please, please, can you please come and tell Satan to leave me alone? If you are a police officer, I will fire you on the spot.
Yeah, please tell that burglar not to do that. Tell him to leave.
Please don't do that. Please, please, please. I have, you know, scriptures that you can also read because I'm telling you to go back to the word of God. So let me give you some scriptures as well. Genesis 1:26-28, Luke 10:19, Ephesians 3:20. In fact, Ephesians 3:20 says, Luke 10:19. We read it earlier. Ephesians 3:20 talks. Now unto him. Thank you. Thank you. That's what I was trying to remember. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. If you stop there, you got it all wrong. But it's according to the power that works in us. So God only works to the extent of the power that we allow.
Yes.
To manifest through us.
See,
because so very often we put this whole thing on God. God, please do this.
No,
oh, look at Luke 10:19. I didn't notice. Hallelujah.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, there it is. And 1 Peter 2:24 is here. Praise God. But, you know, so it's according to that power that we allow. Take authority. God said, take it. Please take it. Please take it. Don't beg Satan. Use it, please.
See, it works both ways. If you give Satan the power, he takes over.
Yeah.
You give God power.
He is the power. We take it.
Okay. Amen. He owns the power. He gave us the authority to access that power 24/7. Amen. So how do you speak? Speak to your symptoms directly.
Yes.
Speak to your symptom directly. Many of us become very religious. Our time is gone. Many of us become very religious when we start praying. Oh, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we love you. You know, you gave us, you said that by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. So we know right now that by the stripes of Jesus, this person is healed. It's a stupid prayer. That information is for you. That is the basis by which you are taking authority. Are you listening?
Yes.
I hope you didn't. No, please. Keep your religion to the side. Address the problem directly. Get out in Jesus' name. Don't feel awkward that anybody around you will say, who does she think she is? Who does he think he is?
A child of the King.
You are the Son of the Most High God. Yes, ma'am.
So you're saying instead of just quoting the Bible like that, just address it.
Yes.
Because that, yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Religion will make you quote all the Bible, but you are not addressing the issue. Mm-hmm. You have to address it head on, okay? Don't limit God's power by unbelief. Don't. And I have scriptures for those. Psalm 78:41, Matthew 17:20, Hebrew 4:2, Hebrew 11:15. I'm rushing because past time. I'm sorry about that. You know. So if you need prayers after I pray right now, you can come out and we can take authority over any and everything that may be going on. Believe, because I believe you'll be healed. Believe when you're coming out and you'll be healed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father God, we thank you. Thank you for the word that you have given us today, Lord. We bless your holy name that these words have fallen on fertile grounds, Lord. And Lord Almighty, in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, we will manifest the healing we need in our bodies. Today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.